You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Everybody, March 25th, 2016, we're in the live stream with O'Hallahan. O'Hallahan, hi. O'Hallahan, go ahead. Hello.
Whoa, there we go. Okay. You there, Ab? Can you hear me?
Welcome to the audio chat with Fakeologist and O'Hallahan of Korea. Hello, yeah. Korea. No, Korea, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, dude.
Larry was the best.
Yeah, my voice is a little rough. It's 4 in the morning here.
Oh, no.
And drinking coffee.
Yeah, good boy.
Keeping good myself stuff. Awake. Yeah. I grabbed you on Skype, and I've been thinking. I woke up at like 3 or 2:30 in the morning, and sitting in front of the computer thinking about something.
You do your best thinking at 3 in the morning.
I got to tell you that it's so quiet here. That is the case, is that it gets really quiet and I start, you know, delving into like MP3s and such and all of a sudden I start thinking, you know, a couple cups of coffee kick in and I start thinking and I was like, oh God, Ab has got to hear this. He's going to want to hear this. And it evolves around the new Superman, you know, the Batman Superman movie. And so let me just set the stage for this. It's Saturday, March 26th. Earlier in the week, I had this epiphany, you know, I found this video. I was listening to, and I already told you this story, Ab, but I just want to tell it again so that people listening understand what the hell I'm talking about, where I'm coming from.
Sure.
And, I become a Greg Carlwood fan, the Higher Side Chats. I actually became, you know, such a fan that I subscribed to his podcast. And, I'm enjoying his new podcast, and I'm going through all his old podcasts, downloading them and listening to them, and I'm really enjoying it. So I'm becoming a fan, right? Which is a dangerous thing. You know, I mean, the word fan is a contraction of the word fanatic. And, so when you tell somebody you're a fan, you know, I mean, it's not necessarily a good thing. I've become a Greg Carlwood fan. And also, please excuse me, I'm whispering a little bit. It's because it's so early in the morning here. I don't want to wake my wife up. And I also have a cold. I'm listening to him talk to Gordon White about magic, right? And, you know that I'm a big sci-fi fantasy guy. I love sci-fi and fantasy. I've always loved sci-fi and fantasy. I'm 52 years old, and I could still remember, you know, like even before kindergarten, like sitting on my uncle's knee when I was a little boy, and we were watching Star Trek together, the original Star Trek in the 1960s. I was a fan all the way from back then. And I'm listening to Ray Carlwood interview Gordon White, who's talking about chaos magic, and it was pretty good. And he always does this post podcast monologue, and in this post podcast monologue, he mentions a video on YouTube, and that is where his view of it that the Simpsons had predicted the Donald Trump presidency in the year 2000 with scary accuracy. You know, and I stopped the MP3 right there and I Googled it, and I watched this video of a cartoon supposedly made in the year 2000, the Simpsons animation in 2000, and it was an exact depiction of Trump coming down an escalator, you know, the Secret Service behind him. In the real version, Donald Trump makes this announcement in 2015 about his presidential run, and he's coming down this escalator, and Secret Service is behind him, and fans are on the railing as he's descending down the escalator. You can go to YouTube and type in Trump going down escalator, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And you know, it's an eerie, you know, supposedly the animation was made in the year 2000, and it's eerie how exactly it matches to Donald Trump coming down the escalator. I mean, even to the point where the hand motions are the same, and this woman dropping a little cardboard cutout sign, it's dropped at the same time. You know, that the woman really drops it in the year 2015. And, you know, the funny thing is that it had this, you know, kind of scary, eerie music to it. And this is what Greg Carlwood was referring to. And I was shocked. I was shocked. And I sent you a message immediately. I was so shocked. I was like, wow. I mean, dude, you've got to see this. And I was even kind of, you know, flippant about it, you know, like I was like, Ab, this is the biggest thing I've seen. I linked the video to you, you know, and then I put in there, you're welcome, you know, just assuming you were going to go, wow, thanks. You know, like I was kind of flippant about it, you know. And unbeknownst to me at the time, I was making a complete ass of myself. So, I got the name of the video that it was, or the animation that it was, that it was supposedly originally taken from, and it was called Bart to the Future in season 11 of 2000. And I went to a torrent site and I just downloaded, you know, season 11.
Right.
And you know, you and I know that Matt Groening is a 33rd degree Freemason. You know, we know the history of, you know, these animations, these Fox animations coming out with these revelations, you know, and, you know, like the 9/11, you know, it's, and I was like, this is it, you know, I've got time traveling Illuminati right here, you know, this is it, you know, in my head full of Gordon White, you know, with chaos magic, and I don't digest a lot of television. I think that television is an absolute wasteland. But I do watch The Magicians. And I think it's one of the best things to come out of the Sci-Fi Channel, like probably ever, you know, with the possible exception of, Frank Herbert's Dune. So I start downloading the entire season, and I go to work, and my, the whole time that I'm at work, my head is buzzing with this. Like I've, you know.
Wow, you're obsessed with it.
Yeah, you know, I've got, you know, I've still got quantum physics from the Holographic Universe Workshop going through my head, and we're living in a quantum soup, and you know, there's certain people that have the cheat codes to this video game that we're stuck in, and here's proof positive of it. And when I get home from work, the entire season is completed download, so I go immediately to, you know, Bart to the Future, you know. I start watching it, and the episode is all about, in the future, Lisa Simpson becomes president of the United States, and, you know, she makes a funny quip about she's very proud to be the first, you know, straight woman president, you know, talking about, you know, referring to, you know, that Clinton Hag is, you know, a possible lesbian, but she also makes reference to she's taking over for a failed Trump presidency that basically bankrupted the country. And so the whole time I'm watching this animation, I'm waiting for the part where Donald Trump is coming down the elevator, and you know, it's 15 minutes and then 25 minutes, and it's like the cartoon's almost over, and we're, you know, when is he going to come down the escalator? And of course he doesn't, right?
Right.
So as soon as I see that, I go back to look for, like, maybe I saw the wrong episode. Maybe Donald Trump is in two of them. I just got the wrong one. And I wind up going to Snopes. And Snopes points out that video is a fake, right? And so I click on it and I start reading. And what they point out is that Donald Trump coming down the escalator animation was made in 2016, right? And what it was, they took the actual live video of Donald Trump coming down the escalator, and they just animated it right from there. And it's, you know, some crazy scene where, you know, Homer is behind Donald going down the escalator, and he's admiring his hair, right? Because Homer's bald, you know, and I realized that I got had, you know, me and Greg Carlwood both got had. And so immediately I got on Skype and I wrote you that message, you know, forget what, yeah, I told you, you know, or, you know, earlier in the day, you know, I, you know, it's fake. And I started linking these things to you to show you it was fake. And, you know, it embarrassed the hell out of me. That was the first time where I really thought, like, wow, you know, I've got something, like, after, you know, 12 or 13 years of studying this insane conspiracy theory, I've actually got something that's really, really off the wall, and it's really cool, and it's all science fiction-y, you know.
Yeah.
You know, God, I'm, you know, did I mention I was 52 years old? All right, so.
You're watching cartoons?
Sad. Yeah, I'm not that bright, Ab, you know, it's like, you know, Greg Carlwood has a voice email, and I hopped on his voice email to tell him that, you know, give him the information that he got had. But, the first thing that struck me about it was I became a fan, right? Which is something that I try never to do. And that is, a fan is a contraction of the word fanatic. I just, yeah, took Greg Carlwood at his word, because I'm so in love with, you know, Greg Carlwood now, that when he says it, I just, you know, take it at face value like a moron.
Yeah. You were never in love with me, I hope.
Well, I got to tell you that, Ab, you have, you know, I've said this on podcasts. I've said this, you know, when you weren't around, you know, I've defended you when you weren't around, you know, look, you know, Ab puts out a website called Fakeologist that points, yeah, out something extremely important, and he points it out over and over and over and over again, and he does it with his fucking beer money. All right, look, how many guys do you know that take their beer money, right, and presents, yeah, reality to an ungrateful audience every single day, every single year? How many people do you know that do that? I know one. All right. And so anyone that starts talking shit about Aberrato on a, you know, anywhere, I'm immediately jumping to your defense.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, your efforts are not, lost on me, dude.
Thank you.
Anyone who has half a brain, can see that you are making, you know, I mean, not only are you making an effort, which most people don't even make an effort, but you're making a positive effort that works, right?
No, I don't know if it works.
No, I gotta tell you, it's out there. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that you're always right or Greg is
always
right.
No, I know I'm not right all the time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, no man is an island, you know. Yeah, I mean, we don't have the information to be right all the time. You know, the only thing that we can do is the best we can. And, you know, we have, you know, day jobs, and we have extremely limited resources, you know.
Yeah, great.
You know, on top of the fact that I'm no Einstein to begin with.
Me neither.
But, yeah, but, yeah, but what struck me immediately was, you know, Aberrato has spent all this time and effort, you know, and I've been at his site many, many times, and, here I am, as soon as I, you know, Greg Carlwood, my new hero says, something crazy. I forget everything that Abbas taught me, and that really embarrassed me, That's why I hopped on Skype with you after that. I'm like, oh, Ab, I'm really sorry about that. Like everything you friggin' taught, Professor Ab teaches me, I just throw it right in the garbage because of my
professor. But, it's good to, I'm wrong a lot too, but it's good to bounce things off other people and they can sometimes set you straight.
Yeah. Yeah, you tried. I mean, when I first sent you that stuff, you said, they're saying it's fake. And I didn't even listen to you,
Well, someone else said it was fake, not even me.
Yeah.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, so, I was so high on Greg Carwood. And Greg Carwood is great. But again, no man is an island, he's got a day job too, just like everyone else. He doesn't have time to flesh out everything, so it was a lesson, it was a very, very strong lesson in, looking before you leap, and even someone who is as skeptical as I am, and obviously my skepticism is, only a fraction of yours. Someone who is as skeptical as I am, I just leap to it, like, wow, time traveling Illuminati. I've got it, God. Mm-hmm. So,
sounds funny.
Yeah, it's funny, stupid. So
what else have you been up to?
Well, that isn't even the reason that I hopped on TeamSpeak.
Always glad to talk to you.
Yeah, because you too have. Because you and I had fleshed what you and I just talked about, just talked about for the past 10, 15 minutes. We already talked about that on Skype.
But we didn't record it.
Yeah, we didn't record it, and I was thinking, maybe I should hop on TeamSpeak and talk about that, and I was like, I'm not going to be able to recreate that magic,
That's funny.
So, yeah, I didn't even bother, but I don't want to plague your audience with stupidity, but it's a good lesson, it's like, always check yourself before you throw yourself out there. And here's another thing is that I admire people that do throw themselves out there and, they do make mistakes and, but at least they're, they're trying, all of us have limited resources. When you talk about, I'm a big Simon Shack fan, which why am I a big Simon Shack fan? Cause he's a limited guy, He's a guy who's got limited resources and, he's a really bright guy, but he's just a musician, he's not a paid investigator or investigative journalist or something. He's a musician, but being just a regular guy and a musician, he got out there and he used his head, and he came up with something that was shocking and, after Simon Shack's work has been out there, everyone has seen it, and still Jim Pfitzer is talking about planes flying into the Jim Pfitzer is a brilliant man. He's an ex-college professor. He's a logician. He understands logic. He must have seen Simon Shack's work, and that douchebag is still talking about planes flying into towers. I just throw my hands up, I turn off the MP3 and I throw it in the trash, I've been thinking about, this intellectual trip that I made, this intellectual stumble, that I made over the, in the beginning of the week. And I started contemplating the new Batman versus Superman movie. And as I was sitting here listening to someone else's podcast, I think I come up with a revelation that I think would be fun to talk about. And I was like, oh, okay, I got to talk about this with somebody and no one is around. Let me grab Ab on TeamSpeak and kick it around.
Yeah,
I was going to go on record. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I think I already know what the mistakes are before I've even seen it. And I was thinking, oh, it'd be great to go on record to see if I was right. Or to see if, I'm going to, like trip over my own dick again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Batman versus Superman. I'm a big sci-fi fan, and I've been really waiting for Batman versus Superman. I was thinking it would be really good. And here in Korea, it's already out, but I haven't seen it. There's no movie theater in my town, so I haven't seen it. And, being the lazy bastard that I am, I'll probably just download some Russian cam version of it, just to get an idea. But I've been Googling the critical reviews. Have you seen any critical reviews on Batman versus Superman yet?
No, because I'll be honest, I couldn't care less, honestly. I never cared about comics. My whole limited. I'm sorry. I'm not a good person to ask about that. But yeah. I'll let you, of course, put your information out there.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear it.
Just to set it up, I teach a class in metaphor to my university. When I have university students, I don't teach them the ABCs. I have kindergarten students, I have elementary students, I have middle school students, and I get some university students, and of course I'm not doing the ABCs with them. They're damn near fluent. They've been studying the English language so long. So what we do is we do a class in metaphor. And they're also university students, so I just, I grab a six-pack of beer and, we sit in my living room and we try and figure out what movies are, what the deeper message of the movie is. And, the example that I'll reiterate, just for your audience was you can discern a couple of the revelations from Flat Earth in Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek, right? And I know I've told you this already. I'm just reiterating it for people that are listening. This is the power of metaphor, right? This is why I love science fiction and fantasy. When you're talking about science fiction and fantasy, you're talking about writers. Writers are smart guys, right? And they all sit around, and they're unfettered by reality. Right. You can do anything you want in the context of fantasy and science fiction because there's already a suspension of disbelief, right? We already know it's not real, right? So you can do anything you want. And, you get bright guys all together in a room that could do anything they want, and quite often they come up with some amazing stuff,
Right.
And so, for example, Gene Roddenberry, when you talk about Captain Kirk, right? If you go, there's a new television show out there called Highlander, and it's a story about a woman who she touches these. I'm hearing an echo.
Oh, sorry. Oh. Yeah.
It's okay.
Oh, yeah. Tom just dropped in as well. Tom. Sorry, Tom is off. He wanted to say hi.
Yes, I never do it on purpose, but often do. Excuse me, I'm just plugging in.
It's okay, dude. I lost it. What was I saying, dude? The Highlander. Okay, so it's a story about a woman who basically touches these Stonehenge-type stones, and she's transported back in time about 150 years into the past, into Scotland's past. And you hear they make references to their local church. They call it the Kirk, right? The Scottish word, the old school Scottish word for church is Kirk, right? So you've got the old Star Trek series as Captain Kirk, and they're on the Enterprise. And the Enterprise is what? What's an Enterprise? An Enterprise is a money-making venture, right?
Yeah.
This is something that Jordan Maxwell taught us years ago. And, who is he? Who is the church on this money-making venture with? He's on the bridge with Mr. Spock, who's the devil, right? He makes the hand sign, if you put your hands up, in the Vulcan, the Vulcan Vs, you see DE, and then you've got the V, which your two fingers parted make the V, and then IL, which spells out devil, and he's got the ears, and, Mr. Spock is the devil, right? So it's the church and the devil together in a money-making venture going from spherical planet to spherical planet, right? And
okay.
you know, in order to make money. And this is, you know, the flat earth is saying. And you know, one of the things that Eric DeBay talks about is that one of the reasons that they came up with, this spherical geometry of the planets is, you know, was to get churchgoers excited again so that they would actually come back to church, right? So it's the church and the devil together in an enterprise, right? And so, in other words, you're seeing parts of the flat earth, what Eric DeBay is talking about in Flat Earth in the original Star Trek in the early 1960s, coming from the mind of Gene Roddenberry, who's a Freemason, by the way. So the reason that I bring this example up is because this is the power of metaphor, right? There's a lot of trash in science fiction and fantasy, but there's also a lot of skill and a lot of talent and a lot of intelligence, and there's a lot of insight if you can discern the insight, and that is the key to what I'm going to talk about next, right? Batman versus Superman. I haven't seen the movie yet, but what I'm going to do with this TeamSpeak is just go out on a limb and just, just throw it out there that I think that this movie is missed its mark. I haven't seen it yet, but I've been reading these critical reviews, right? And there's a guy, if you go to YouTube and you type in Movie Bob, right?
Right.
At the top of his list is a scathing, video of his critique of Batman versus Superman. It is scathing. It's actually vulgar. He's so pissed off. He's a big comic book fan, and he's a movie critic, and he's quite articulate. If you go through the rest of his videos, it's quite articulate, but it is a vulgar, scathing rant on Batman versus Superman. And I've also read a lot of other Batman versus Superman critical reviews, and the overwhelming majority of them are very negative, right? I'm beginning to, after reading and watching enough of these reviews, because I'm all excited about the Batman versus Superman movie, I'm beginning to understand the mistake that the director made this movie, right? And I think that you are going to be able to tell me what the mistake is if I prompt you to do it. Or Tom, or both of you.
Right. Yeah. Tom, are you interested in the Superman stuff, by the way?
Oh, crumbs. No, I'm not very up with it. I found it fascinating, all the culture creation through the cinema. I just booked tickets to my daughter and I to go to Divergent, something called Divergent tomorrow, which is a trilogy of something or other, which is popular.
Divergent.
But no, I'm an amateur, kind of intrigued to hear but not much of an opinion on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The plots and things. I don't know the plots and things of the films, the dynamics of it all. You seem to be sort of going with O'Halloran. Hi, by the way. How you doing, mate? Long time no hear you.
Oh, I'm doing fine. Thank you, Dale.
You're sounding on your lovely tones there. Just haven't heard them for ages.
Thanks. You're in Australia, right?
I'm in Cambridge, England, actually.
Okay.
Some people say that sometimes.
Yeah, it's good. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning in Australia. Man, you're up early. Yeah, it was either Australia or it was England. More likely the latter,
anyway,
because
you were saying
time.
That we'd be able to tell what the director had done wrong. Is that right?
Yeah. I think that you guys will be able to discern it just from just from our common civilian understanding of who Batman and Superman are supposed to be. So let me start by asking you the question. Who do you think Batman and Superman are? Right. Who is Superman?
Real life?
No. I mean, within the context of the comic book universe, who is he and what does he represent? And
yeah, okay.
Good.
He represents good. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything? Keep going. Just let a stream of consciousness go. Like, good. I hear the word good.
He's kind of like a blessed one, isn't he?
He's a blessed one.
He's got some divine superpower. Like a deity, not a deity necessarily, but he's got superpowers. On a basic level,
yeah.
Got superpowers.
Yep. Okay. Anything
Normal
else?
Normal guy, but change can change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anything else?
Strength.
Oh, say again.
Strength. Power.
Strength
and power.
Okay. Ah,
I forget the story of it. Yeah. Okay. The story of it. Is he like a, it's like a Jesus analogy or something somewhere? I don't know.
It does seem like a Christian theme. He's an angelic figure, or even a Christ figure, like Neo in the Matrix. He's kind of a Christ self-sacrificial, don't do harm. Yeah. Kind of a Christ.
I am just in.
Yeah. Tom, you didn't mute.
Well, I'm heading out. Tom, a little while.
Tom, you didn't mute, old buddy.
There we go. Okay. The one thing that you missed out.
Okay, where I've got the fan from this morning. Oh, boy. Three white bottles in there.
Yeah.
He seems like I can mute him.
Well, you can boot him, and then he can just rejoin when he comes back in.
Yeah, mate. Okay, there's three bottles in there, is there?
I'm back in the lobby.
Yeah. He'll when he gets off the phone, he can just hop back in. Okay, the one thing that you missed is that he's quintessentially American, right?
Yeah.
He's got the red and blue suit, and his skin is white, so you've got the red, white, and blue. And
okay, also, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and also you've got this idea of the old 1960s version where he, he works for the American way, right? He's. Let me give you my observations about Superman. Right, Superman is a super-powered farm boy. Right, if you think about what he's Clark Kent and Martha Kent's son. He's grew up in. He's basically a hayseed with superpowers. And this makes him dangerous, right? Because first of all, that kind of superpower to begin with. If you remember the Man of Steel, film, he basically destroys Metropolis fighting General Zod. I mean, his fighting with General Zod killed multiple people. I mean, it was almost reminiscent of the Twin Towers being destroyed. I mean, you could imagine, thousands of civilians dying in the fight between Superman and General Zod. All right. And so even though with all his innocence and his self-sacrifice, people are dying around him because he's just got too much power. Right. Right. And, on top of that, he is not, hey Tom, welcome back.
Excuse me.
Oh, it's okay, dude. So Superman is basically a super-powered farm boy. Right. First of all, that kind of power unchecked is dangerous. To begin with, right? Anyone, even someone who's saintly, that kind of power is a threat.
Yeah.
Right? But you combine that kind of power with a guy who's just either of normal intelligence or is even worse, is some kind of hayseed. All of a sudden, it raises a lot of red flags, right? So this is a problem, right? And there's another problem with, but Superman. If I were to ask you, what you thought Superman's politics would be, what would you say he was?
It was apolitical.
You think that Superman would be apolitical?
I think so.
I see him as a Rush Limbaugh Republican.
Yeah. I didn't think they would waste their time creating injecting politics, because that would just divide the audience, wouldn't it?
Well, they definitely would not inject politics in. But you can glean a political bent from Clark Kent, right? And that is an all-American boy who is conservative, right? I mean, can you see Superman or even Clark Kent supporting a liberal issue? I mean, can you see Clark Kent at a Caitlyn Jenner rally? I don't see that.
I don't even know.
Yeah,
it's just not something that.
Yeah. What I see is, Superman waving red, white, and blue, and supporting, the American machine,
yeah.
Right? And being naive enough to not understand that it's a corporation, and it's a money making profit corporation, and the United States is probably number one in the most evil nation, ever in the history of mankind. I mean, the death. We. the false flag of 9/11, and we blame it on Osama bin Laden, who's a boogeyman in a cave somewhere, and you know, and you can see that a Clark Kent, who's a very nice guy, and he's just of regular intelligence, but he's you know, he's not that sophisticated. He just would buy into the propaganda, and he would take his superpowers, and even though he himself would be working for good, he would do evil just because in other words, I'm making a case for the fact that Superman is actually a super dupe, you know. Even though he's very well intentioned, I mean, all the, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah,
so
sure
what, I'm trying to tell you is that Superman is actually a supervillain. It's just that people don't realize it, right? Because he's well intentioned. They don't understand that he's a superpowered hayseed who really has bought into American propaganda, right?
Oh, clever. I like it, O'Hallahan. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I never thought like that, yeah.
Yeah, and so we have this vision, you know, of Superman as a superhero. But me and you and Tom and everyone listening to Fakeologist, we are in another club, right? And that other club is we know the truth. We know how things really work. We knew what happened. We know what happened on 9/11. I mean, in a vague sense, we know that we were completely lied to. Right. We know what the American war machine is. Right.
We know so much to know that this big hero that's been presented by Hollywood as these superheroes and most likely the anti-hero.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to make a case for is that Superman is actually, in reality, a supervillain. Right. And 99.999% of people will go, no, O'Hallahan, you've gone over the edge this time. He is a superhero. Right, but no. If you ask the Fakeologist audience, you know, and you ask them to think about it, a superpowered hayseed farm boy, right, who waves the American flag, sticking up for the American way, which is, you know, what they used to say in the 1960s. I guess they don't say that anymore. You know, it would be an embarrassment if they said it now. But that's part of his persona. That is a dangerous supervillain. Right, something that they said in the old Star Trek, at the Next Generation Star Trek, is that a villain that wears a black top hat and twiddles his mustache is very easy to see, right? But that is not how real villains present themselves. Real villains, like George W. Bush, right, is, you know, presents himself as a Christian who's doing work for democracy, even though the United States is not supposed to be a democracy, and he winds up killing millions of people. And they've got him on the cover of Time magazine with his hands in prayer where he's praying. You know, this is what real supervillains look like. They look like George W. Bush. You know, where 99.9% of people think that he's, you know, some kind of good guy if just stupid. No. Well, this is the problem with Superman, is that most people, the overwhelming majority of people, think that Superman is a superhero, and he's not. He's a supervillain. Okay. So, who is Batman? I ask you, who is Batman?
Well, it's a bit darker, isn't it? The Bat. He's got that Gotham City and that... What was that? Yeah, Skull and Bones reference in one episode I saw. I'm pretty amateur on my study of Batman.
Yeah. Just kind of a colloquial sense of Batman, like in a common person sense. Like if I say Batman to you, like just do a kind of a stream of consciousness, Tom. Like what are the
special agent, special agent do-gooder, maverick, connected to, you know, to power, to good power or something, you know.
I think you hit it on the head when
Robin,
you said
he did porno, apparently. That always comes up. Raises its head.
Yeah.
Robin, he was, what could I get with it? It was mad, all that silly fighting. And there was, and he was for good as well, wasn't he? That's what it felt like. You know, all the swag and the robbers again, where he was battling the... I can't remember, really. Battling Mafia and things, wasn't he?
Well, Tom, let me ask you this. If I were to ask you what political affiliation Batman would have, if Superman was a Rush Limbaugh Republican, what political affiliation would Batman have?
Well, from an Englishman's perspective, he still seems a little bit... is he more a left-wing one, is he, Batman? Yeah, is he more sort of sympathetic to being a Democrat?
Well, I don't see Superman.
There's a Skull and Bones connection, I said before. That's definitely the others.
Sorry. Yeah. I don't see Superman at a Caitlyn Jenner rally. I also don't see Batman at a Caitlyn Jenner rally, right? I don't think that either of them are liberals.
Okay.
I would say that Batman is a libertarian, right? Batman is a character that is a maverick. You use the correct word, in my opinion, Tom. You use the word maverick. He's a maverick. He does the right thing, no matter what people think. He does the right thing. He's extremely intellectual. Remember, he's a detective, right? He's very well financed. He has a lot of resources, right? He has cutting-edge computer technology. He's plugged in. He's extremely intelligent, and he's very discerning. And his moral compass always points north, right? Superman's moral compass is less—it's more ambiguous than that, right? Superman's character is not smart enough to discern reality. He is. He does the right thing according to his, according to his morality. He has a particular morality. He doesn't hurt people. He does the right thing. He's a little bit naive. Superman is a little bit naive, right? Batman is not. Batman is not naive. Right. Batman understands the reality of how things work. Batman would be a fakeologist. Right. Batman would be a Simon Shack.
He's more streetwise. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you think about who, Simon Shack with his civilian depiction of No Planes and his, how Simon very early on took all of the videos and he'd slow them down and he would show you where the drawing lines were on the building and how the nose would peek out the other end of the drawing. And these are things that Batman would do, right? Batman does the right thing no matter how contrary it is. This is what Simon Shack did. Right. Simon Shack did the right thing. It was not politically correct to, call the official story into question. And Simon Shack did it. And in my opinion, Simon Shack did it right. But this is kind of like a Batman thing. Right.
Batman is Simon Shack. Yeah.
Batman is Simon Shack.
And Superman is who? Jeff C. No.
Well. I would say that I don't know who would Superman be. I don't, you know, Superman is a nice guy, right? Everyone wants to be best friends with Superman. He's a nice guy. He'll never lie to you. He will never rip you off. He will always try to help you, right? If you're having problems with your car, Clark Kent is going to come over with a six pack of beer and he's going to help you work on your car. Right. Wow. He's a nice guy. He's everyone's favorite neighbor. But he's not savvy, right? He doesn't understand how the world really works. He has a farm boy's view of the world. You know, I'm a nice guy. You're a nice guy. You know, wave the American flag. It's the American way. And people like that are easily duped, right?
He's the all-American boy. Naive in some ways, isn't he? So he comes across like that, dutiful, and he would always do the right thing as considered by society.
Which is very easy to manipulate because most people are like that. You know, most people get up every day and they take a shower and they put on their tie and they go to work. Why do they do that? They don't do that because they enjoy it. They do it to support their family because they're doing the right thing.
Well, that alone as a sort of an ideal as a Superman, do you know what I mean? Mm. Him being so straight in that way is a powerful in itself, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, this is how, you know, we were, I mean, Americans were completely, derailed, you know, by 9/11, and people in doing the right thing, right? All Americans wanted to do the right thing, right? And that is to go to Afghanistan, to the caves of Afghanistan, and capture the criminal that flew planes into the Twin Towers. And if that's what really happened, that would be sort of a good idea, right? But we know that's not really what happened, right? And this is the weakness of Superman. Superman's biggest weakness is not kryptonite. Superman's biggest weakness is that he's not that bright.
Yeah. Right?
And this is why he can be controlled by, like, Lex Luthor, and he can be controlled by the Joker. The reason is that he's not that smart. I mean, he's smart. He's of average intelligence. Like, he's not stupid. You know, I mean, I could see him getting through the university, but he's not an intellectual. You know, like, he doesn't understand the deeper issues. You know, maybe because he's too busy, you know, helping his neighbor fix his car, or he's too busy plowing his fields or something. He just doesn't have time to do the research to find out how things really worked. In other words, he would have bought into the 9/11 lie, hook, line, and sinker. You know? Okay,
yeah.
So that's Superman. But Batman is not like that. Batman is more like Simon Shaq, who looks at these falling towers. Batman is highly intellectual, right? He looks at the videos of the Twin Towers. I've heard Simon Shaq talk about the revelation that he had when he saw those videos. And Simon Shaq said, that's fake, right? And that's what I picture Batman like. He looks, you know, he's sitting in his Batcave in front of that huge screen, and Alfred's like, you know, bringing him a drink. And he says, Alfred, you see this? And Alfred goes, yeah, that's a tragedy. And he says, no, Alfred, that's a fake, right? Because that's how smart Batman is, right? Batman's strength, it's not his fighting skill, right? It's his intellect. He's a detective. He's very, very intellectual, right?
Okay.
So this is my critique, my unseen critique of the movie, and I'm wondering if I'm going to feel the same way after I see it, but I think I will. This is the problem, right? They have Batman versus Superman, and what they've done is they've taken a highly intellectual character like Batman, and they've turned him into Bruce Lee. Right. And yes, okay, we do have to see some kung fu, all right? Now, look, I'm 52 years old, right? And I've seen enough special effects Bruce Lee-style kung fu for the next three lifetimes. I don't have to see any more kung fu, right? But I understand that you've got to market the film to an audience that wants to see kung fu. Okay, all right, so let's give Batman some kung fu powers. Okay, I got it. But you can't nerf Batman's intellect, right? You can't nerf that, right? You've got to have Batman sitting in his Batcave with his fingers on his temple, looking at information and thinking. You've got to have that. Otherwise, you don't have Batman, right? You've got some guy in a cape and a cowl that does kung fu. That's stupid, right? So I think, I haven't seen the movie yet, but I think that is the first stumble, right? You don't have a real Batman. You've got.
Yeah, you've lost the character of Batman. What have they done? It's sanitized bullshit, modern day cinema. Most of the films I see are rubbish, as far as a lot of them are.
There's
so little quality, I find, and real depth in a lot of these things. Yeah. Yeah. But,
in essence, you don't have Bruce Wayne, you have Bruce Lee. And I think that's the first problem. But the second problem, I think, is even bigger, is that you have Superman as a superhero, and he's not a superhero. He's a supervillain, and he's not a supervillain by choice. He's a supervillain by lack of intelligence, right? And he's dangerous. This dude is dangerous, all right? You know, look, you go into a bar and you accidentally step on some dude's shoes that has laser vision. All right. That is not a guy whose shoes you want to step on, right? That's just it. Is that what, if I was Batman, right, what I would be watching this fight in my Batcave in front of the big screen, and I would look and Alfred would be serving me my, you know, my drink, and I'd be like, Alfred, you see this guy? And Alfred would go, yeah, he's quite a hero. And I'd go, no, that dude is dangerous, right? And the reason he's dangerous is because he's got nuclear-powered strength, nuclear-powered vision, right? He's unbreakable.
Nuclear-powered. How could it explode an entire continent or something?
Yeah. And that dude is not that bright, right? Because he's doing all this crazy stuff in the middle of Gotham. He's wrecking the place, right? That dude, if you were a superpowered guy taking on another superpowered guy and you were a good guy, what would be the first thing that you would do? You would grab your opponent and you would like fly him to the moon, right? Because you know that in the next couple seconds, some eye laser beams are going to cut loose and you're going to be tackling some dude that can go through a wall, right? And you don't want anyone getting hurt by this, right? So my first inclination would be to grab that guy around the waist, pick him up, and then fly him to the moon. We'll settle our differences there where no one's going to get hurt, right? That would be my first thought. That's not Superman's first thought. Superman's first thought is, I'm going to beat the hell out of this guy. And that's stupid. That's what makes him dangerous, right? Batman, the hyper-intellectual that Batman is, has already thought this out, right? But in the movie Batman versus Superman, he doesn't do that. He gets into a fist fight in the middle of Gotham with a guy that's unbreakable, right? And he knows that the laser beams are going to go off from his eyes. And when the laser beams go off, they're going to be tearing up a building, right? And there's going to be people inside that building, and someone's going to get hurt. And Batman's too smart for that, right? I think that's the problem with I haven't seen it yet. I just want to go on record saying I think that's what the problem is going to be. Because what I think what would make everyone in the audience kick back and go, whoa, this movie is epic, is if Batman outs Superman as a supervillain, everyone would grab onto their seats in a movie theater and go, whoa, man, this is a movie, you know? And then in the later movies, you could have, like, you know, Superman, like, come to a revelation, you know, like that he was wrong and Batman was right. And, you know, and then the leader of the Justice League would be Batman because Superman just isn't smart enough, right? So I don't know. That's my rap. What do you think?
Well, interesting.
I think it's an interesting thought. Definitely putting them against each other. It's just these sort of moral dilemmas, and it can paint a picture. It's a chance to paint a picture in people's heads. Good guy turning bad or whatever.
But you're really into all these superheroes, huh, Dan?
Well, it's not necessarily the superhero. I'm always looking for metaphor. I'm always looking for the allegory. You know, that's what I'm always looking for, you know, what does this, take the Matrix movie and cut out all the kung fu. What is this about? What is the basic story? What is the basic story of the original Star Trek, that the church and the devil get on an enterprise, which is a money-making venture, and they fly around to spheres. And every time that you, like, I'm sitting in my bat cave looking at what I can see of the planet, and it looks fucking flat, right? That's where I'm coming from. What is the metaphor? What are they trying to tell me, right? And after reading the reviews of Batman versus Superman, what the critics are whining about is the contrived conflict between Batman and Superman. It feels to the critics to be completely contrived, right? And as I was drinking my coffee at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was thinking to myself that there's no need for contrivance, right? That Batman and Superman are already complete polar opposites. You don't have to contrive anything for Batman to want to take Superman down, right? All you have to do is delve into who they are. And Batman is a libertarian. His moral compass is always pointing north. It doesn't matter what the political, you know, the temperature of the political water, or if it looks right or it looks wrong. He does the right thing. If you go back to The Watchmen, right, which was a superb superhero movie that no one saw. It was fantastic. It's called The Watchmen, right? Rorschach is the Batman character, right? Many people will argue that Night Owl is the Batman character. He's not. Rorschach is the Batman character. And the reason is that Rorschach has got a moral compass that always points north, right? This is Batman. Batman always does the right thing, even if it's politically correct or not. And that's the essence of Superman, is that he's always politically correct. He wants to be seen as the nice guy, as the Jesus figure coming to save everybody. It's part of his personal flaw, right? And his personal flaw is, I've got these superpowers and I want to do the right thing. Right? What's the right thing? And the right thing is what's politically correct. Because he's the red, white, and blue. He's the American, right? People like that are dangerous, right? And this is my argument. Yeah, but it's not that I'm into superhero movies necessarily, you know?
Yeah.
I'm looking for the, if you and I watch a documentary, right, it's presupposed that we're looking at reality. So there's no allegory, there's no metaphor, there's no story. There's just supposedly reality, right? But when you're looking at a piece of fiction, there's a story there, right? I mean, I've taught the Harry Potter series to university kids, right? And the depth of Harry Potter, when you go deep into it, when you understand what's really being said, right? It's deep. And that's where you realize that J.K. Rowling could not have written it. It's too deep, right? It's too deep. J.K. Rowling's before Harry Potter was some kind of welfare mother. It's, you know, the ability, the writing ability, the skill could not, you know, I mean, those movies almost translated directly to screenplays, to Hollywood movies. A welfare mom's not going to do that. It's, you know.
Yes, there's a huge success of that. And if it wasn't controlled right from the start, surely it must be now, sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? It couldn't get where it was if there wasn't, I don't know, narratives that are supposed to be in there. Like you say, these allegories, what they must be teaching, you know, telling us stuff they want to be telling us in those films. JK does seem a bit like a, I don't know. Could she have written them with guidelines, and could then the Hollywood films have just added their own bits or something? You know, could it have been such a sort of natural sensation, naturally, original?
They asked J.K. Rowling one time, you know, how did you write the J.K. Potter, or the Harry Potter series? She said something to the effect of, I just sat down and I relaxed my mind and it came to me. Bullshit. I've written a book. And writing that book was a motherfucker, right? Took a long time to write the thing. About 6 months took me to write that thing. And then I had to edit it down from 1,000 pages to 400 to, I don't think I wound up with a couple hundred pages, right? And that was just an instruction manual for athletes, right? When you write something as epic as Harry Potter, yeah, she just sat down. Yeah. She just sat down and put a pen in her hand, and it was automatic writing. That's what it was.
She has got a bit. She's quite cold, isn't she? She's quite cold feeling, that woman gives me. Maybe it's complete bluff, you know.
I don't know anything about J.K. Rowling. The only thing that I know about J.K. Rowling is that supposedly she authored the Harry Potter books, and she's pretty friggin' hot for an older woman. That's the only thing I know about J.K. Rowling, but. You know, but there's no way that she wrote those books. It's impossible. But
black magic in them. There's black magic, isn't there?
Yeah, and we know that's a big jerk around fake. So I don't know. That's basically my whole rap on Batman versus Superman. So I think that in my opinion, Superman is a supervillain. He's not a supervillain by the fact that he's evil. He's not. He's obviously not evil, right?
Yeah.
But But the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and Superman is a super-powered, well-intentioned hayseed. It gets in and just burns the whole place down. Now, there's actually DC Comics based on that thought. There's an alternate DC universe, right, in which this is exactly what happens, right? Superman, he gets tricked by Lois Lane, or he gets tricked by the Joker into killing Lois Lane, right? And he decides unilaterally that that he needs to take control, right? And stop these people, right? And so what Superman does is he takes control planet wide, and he just starts murdering people that he thinks are bad, right? And the only one in this alternate universe, one of the few people that's standing in opposition to Superman is Batman, right? Because Batman sees that Superman is very well intentioned, he's turned himself into a benevolent dictator, and a benevolent dictator is a contradiction in terms, right? Anyone who's telling you what to do is not benevolent, right?
Well, the number two search on Google Trends, or Google rather, yesterday was the Batman versus Superman.
Yeah,
that movie out this weekend.
It's out now.
Dawn of Justice.
I think undoubtedly, that these narratives, as you say, the analogies, the sort of, they're trying to teach us lessons subliminally as much as anything, aren't they? And directly maybe as well.
Yeah.
2 hours and 33 minutes. 29% on the tomato meter.
Ab, if I'm not mistaken, the director is Zack Snyder. Do I have that right?
I'm looking.
I was just going to say, Tim.
Yes.
Sorry, Zack Snyder. Just quickly, because I really have to go out. I've got to go and meet.
Yeah, I got to eat my late lunch now.
Yeah. But, just interesting on that Letterman thread that you started.
I
just got down there and I found this almost exactly a year ago. There's Letterman out again. There was another story. It was in the British newspapers as well, going around the world again of him out jogging. This time he didn't have any shoes on. He's wearing the same yellow shorts, the same yellow little headgear, same socks, no shoes. And he's doing the horns with his hand a bit as well, almost.
Yes, I saw that.
There might be a Baphomet going on there.
And I didn't realize the image upload was not working. I broke it with another plugin for WordPress, so I fixed it now. As you've noticed. Yeah. And
I've seen these things, sort of things before, like predictive programming, sort of almost exactly a year.
No shoes is Masonic, that's for sure. Devil horns and a cult and all that. But I thought that, was it Xylflex? Yeah. You say that guy's name anyway, by the way.
Well, I say Xylflex or Felix.
Felix, let's call him Felix. I wish he'd get a handle one can pronounce. Yeah, but he made a comment that, perhaps this is sort of linked to the Bosnian guy. Is it the Serbian guy? Radovic Kazan. What was that guy's name yesterday?
Yeah.
That guy is a monk or something, and then he has this big bushy beard, and I totally forgot about that guy. I thought he was dead.
I'm talking about? Yeah, I thought he'd gone to jail years ago or something.
They just dragged him back.
But what's that narrative? Do you know what I mean? Are we really to believe that, or that he really went away and was this guy?
Exactly. I don't even have a clue, but I thought maybe the bushy beard sort of linked to that guy, and I don't know.
Well, it's quite interesting. You know, it started out as, is it really him? But I mean, if when you look at it, these things give you, you always had a sense it was a bit of something weird about it. And why would it
I did look at it. I didn't think it was him. If it was him, it was maybe photoshopped and altered a little bit. Maybe it started off as him, but it just looked like there was too much baldness. I couldn't even see the teeth.
I think these things can be very compelling to people. And so Felix was almost the same. You know, he was like, very trusted of Felix. But, you know, I think these celebrity photographs, people can look so different all the time, even daily, you know, day-to-day, picture to picture.
Well, and that's how when we say that some of these guys that are allegedly dead are hiding in plain sight, how easy it is, how easy it would be just to walk down the street of your own neighborhood.
Yes.
Even if you're famous.
Exactly. So it is doable.
That's the point I wanted to make. You could just put on a pair of glasses, a hat, or wear a beard, grow facial hair, anything, and you wouldn't even know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, that's a fair point. Absolutely.
That's what I was trying to imply. I would just try to say, I could say that this guy is that guy, and if it came from a trusted source, you would just say, oh, is it? Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And people would believe it.
In a world of, as I put it in the comments, I think, in a world of disinformation where these celebrity doppelgangers are all over the place, we could just see how easy it is by looking at that to someone to look completely different, I think, really. But it is him, I think, but there's some kind of narrative going on, the Letterman narrative. Now, why wouldn't they, I suppose? He was so famous and in the public eye for so long. He can be still, perhaps, I don't know what, used for another, a narrative. I don't know. I was interested to see he had quadruple heart bypass operation in about 91 or something.
Yeah.
He's been jogging since 1983. And then he said, I'll be 69 next year and I've been jogging for 33 years. You know, I mean, he's chucking these numbers in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I followed Letterman in the 80s. I watched a bit, but then he was on too late. I couldn't stay. I only stayed up late for a few years in my teenage years, and then I just started going to bed early because I couldn't stay up to watch it. It was too late for me. So I don't have a heck of an interest in the guy, to be honest with you. But again, I don't really care about him much.
I got a jet. I got to do it.
I got a jet.
We've got a jet.
We're all jetting.
Yeah. Oh, guys.
Now, go away! That's it. Happy Easter, boys.
Take it easy,
that's
guys.
Walden Fawn put that in. That's funny.
Very naughty boy!
What is that from?
It's from The Life of Brian.
From who?
The Life of Brian.
Oh, of course.
Monty Python. Yeah. It's Brian's mum. He's not the Messiah! He's a very naughty boy! Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, so, cheers then. Happy Easter. Have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, you're
heading
out.
Off?
Okay.
You got Monday off?
No, just today.
Ah, it's a shame. We get Monday off in England. It's a long bank holiday. It's quite nice.
And Sunday we are off. For those that are already not off, everything is closed on Sunday, so there's two stat holidays. Now, yeah, you'd think, no, the Sunday they don't give it a additional day in the week. Which they probably should, because most people are off Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. Still, it's nice to have a bit of holiday. It's starting to get a bit of spring weather here, so...
We had a nice storm yesterday, so...
Oh, I like that as well. Yeah, we had a bit of
weather. Yeah, it was pretty bad. It'd be crazy, there's heat on your grass. It's pretty much melting now.
You get some stronger weather. You get some proper winter weather over there that we don't get here, really, these days.
I really
must fly. I don't know. Yeah, good to talk to you, mate. Anyway, listening to O'Hallahan anyway with his breakdown on Batman and Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, I'm not really into movies, so it's hard for me to comment. I know he's passionate about it, and I heard him out, but I'm not into analyzing movies that much. I don't mind if someone points out the odd thing here and there about this predisposed that, but overall, I'm not into it. How about you? I don't care.
I find lots of things interesting. I like movies and I found things like the foreshadowing in the Back to the Future films interesting. And then
never watched the movies before, so I never was interested. So
no, you didn't really grow up watching movies.
No, they were all around me. I was busy working.
No,
building
when you
businesses.
Were younger, in the 80s, what were you watching in the 1980s? Did you get into VHSs?
No. Oh no, I'd watch the odd movie, but even then I like documentaries. And I told you I was a news junkie. I like the news. That's just what I followed. How else, you know? Now I'm
even
into,
as a boy, sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, not too young. You said teenager. I grew up fast. You know, I had a paper route and was running my own little businesses early on, and I never had time for nonsense. It's crazy, isn't it? But it's the truth.
Well. I can understand that. It's fair enough.
I considered media more or news more interesting, but of course now that's nonsense too. it's really taken all the things I used to hold dear, and now everything's nonsense. That's tough actually to deal with.
That was what was dear to me.
The news. I used to watch all these fellows and stories and budgets and all that stuff.
You lose. You know, with things that you used to enjoy, you see completely differently. And can you enjoy them in the same way? You can't, really.
No, they wrecked it. Now the news is a disaster.
Well, there's the classic sort of suspension of disbelief, isn't there, that we all you can enter into when watching fiction and watching movies and hearing stories. You know, and I can go to that place, you know, suspend my disbelief to, yeah, I can get emotional watching films on television, even Hollywood stuff, you know.
Well, I probably could too. But, you know, you have to suspend your disbelief. So. Yeah.
But I know what you mean. I don't like read fiction. I never read fiction. That was me. Same principle. You know, never read fiction. You always wanted to autobiographies, you know, if to read something or, you know, or as stats.
Yeah, I read some spy stuff. I like spy stuff. Not too much, though. John le Carré, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but, overall, I guess I'm just a boring person overall.
I don't know about that. Very interesting. In my experience, all those audios, cool, some real corkers. All sorts. Yeah. And ongoing, my friend.
Yeah, we're
ongoing,
trying.
Interesting.
With your help, commenting and whatnot.
Toronto, Tim.
Yeah, not that interesting, but anyway. Well, go do your thing. I'm going to have my food right now, my late lunch, and maybe we'll talk again. I guess you're hitting the town. It must be 10:30 your time.
Just to my girlfriend's house. Quiet evening. So just going to go down the road and relocate. Really, nothing too exciting, but it's nice to have a bit of Easter.
Do you have a computer set up there too, where you log in and whatnot?
I just take a tab with me, and you.
I see. Yeah.
I sit at the computer so much, it's quite nice to have a break as well sometimes. But I can still log on and have a look, see what's happening. But...
Oh, so you're always connected, yeah.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's good. Well, yeah, any other issues with the site, make sure you let me know. I didn't realize that the images weren't working. That would have been broken for at least a week.
I really quite like that. Exactly a year ago, there he's jogging again, and he didn't have shoes on. I mean, that's odd. That's just odd. And then the next year he comes back and he's shaved. Shaved his head. I don't know.
So, well, yeah, okay. I don't know, because I don't even care about the guy. But always ask, why are these things put before us? That's all we're asking. Why is this put in front of our face? What are they trying to tell us? I think that's what
we
look at.
What's the story? What's the narrative? What's the ruse? The media
what's the
is
con?
So planned and organized in like the military precision of it all.
Yeah,
that these things
it
are
is
editorial
the
decisions. They wouldn't be there. For a reason.
Yes, it is the military. What are they doing? Why is the second in command of ISIL or ISIS or ISILAT? Why did they put that in the news today? So many crazy things.
It's a big one in Brussels, big European psyop, of course, wasn't there? We haven't done a thread on it here. We haven't started a thread. It becomes, you know, mundane.
I was going to. You get tired of it, but yeah, I haven't looked at one picture on it, not even one picture, so I don't care.
It's so you don't need to, do you really? To an extent.
No, you don't. I don't even. I have no interest in it. And PK will pound out 6 videos, and I actually skip most of them. I just don't care now at this point. It's sad in a way, but I can't analyze just these drills one more time. It's not interesting.
You feel like you cut to the chase and know what's going on, so in a sense.
It's just too, I just can't invest. These guys are investing all their time, it seems.
Well, I suppose, you know, people are new to this sort of stuff all the time. They don't realize, you know, I think they always thought they were sort of, stylish, some researchers who just keep putting their stuff out, the same message, you know. but then again, if you're new to it, you've got to go in there somewhere. I think we've sort of not so new to it. It's sort of been around the block a bit.
Yeah, so I'll put a thread up. I'll start a thread. Why not? I'll just put all the Russian vids and the PK. I think they're pretty good overall. They can't be perfect for us, but overall they do good work. So I'll put their stuff up.
Felix is always good to get onto it. And I mean it's perhaps a reference. It's another site for sure that It's a big one, wide affecting a wide area of people.
Continued well, for Europe, it's a European one. It's for you guys more than it is for us. Really, that's
absolutely.
Most Americans couldn't find Belgium on a map, so they're not interested. There really is a great divide. So the Europeans get their own, and Americans get their own. And I'm sure you Europeans aren't as fascinated with the shooting hoaxes over here either.
Oh no,
or in the US, it's not.
There'll be some massacre in Africa when sort of three times as many people are killed, innocent women and children are apparently killed, but we don't have as big a splash about it.
No,
but 30 people get killed down, you know, just across the channel in a sort of a Western town, and it's massive news.
Yeah.
But like you say, absolutely tailored to the people. Hit close to home, obviously. Regional.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you look in the big picture, it's absurd, really, isn't it? Our perspective is skewed, and we know it. You know, you see things come through the Facebook threads of people saying, you know, 800 people died in Ouagadougou, but, you know, why are we worried about 30 here? But it doesn't change
anything. I don't really follow Facebook too much. I do have a name on there that I use, but I don't even mainly local people that are a follow on that. And of course we had the Rob Ford thing, which I'm really having a problem with now, but we'll see what happens in the days to come on that one.
Oh well, yeah, well you're saying you think it's fake, you know, and I just don't know the guy. I just don't really, I'm not in touch with it at all to have a sense of the whole thing, but I could, you know. Yeah.
Well, so much else was contrived. I don't know when he stopped being fake. That would have, this is tricky for me because it's so close to home and everyone's just thinking that I'm out to lunch. So, it's a tough one. It's really a tough one to figure that one out too.
Yeah.
So, I'm still pretty sure that it's, there's something wrong with the story. Let's put it that way. I don't know what it is. So let's see if they have an open casket next week and they're putting his body in City Hall.
Yeah, that open casket in a way is a bit sort of, is that normal?
Well, they've never had a recent mayor. The whole mayor position has never been a big deal in the area until they merged all the little local boroughs. Never been a big issue. So it's only in the last few mayors to become a big deal because they preside over a much larger area now. Super cities, as it were, United Nations mega cities. And overall, it's unprecedented what's going on. Let's put it that way. Most politicians, local politicians, just fade away. Not this one. They promoted him. They made him a media thing. And again, that's the only reason that I'm even analyzing this, because they've made it the top story.
Yeah.
Other than
it's
that,
it's absolutely in your face. Yeah.
It's totally in your face. You got it. They even interviewed his 9-year-old son, which to me is, who would do
that's
that?
Tasteless. That's...
Who would? But I couldn't even believe how eloquent his 9-year-old son was.
Well, you know, a certain class of people may be schooled to have such a stiff upper lip, so to speak, you know. But you know, different sort of upbringing. But you know, go on, stand up. You're a Ford, you know, young man. But,
yeah.
I don't know. It seems inappropriate, doesn't it, that the young man's been put forward so at such a young age, his father's just passed from so tragically. It seems inappropriate to me, a 9-year-old. It does. You know, why? You know, that really is sort of milking it.
Like, here it is here. Let me play it for you.
He worked so hard every day. He didn't stop. He's going at it. And he's pretty good. There's only 1% chance of living, and everybody is crying. I was so sad. Isn't it good of my dad to say, "Daddy, you were the best dad a kid can get everything from you." I don't know what else to say. Best dad in the whole, like, everything.
Shame it's cutting in and out.
Everything. Like, without you, I...
It's a real shame it's cutting in and out. Can't hear it properly.
That's not loud enough?
No, it's cutting in and out, Tim.
What is it? I didn't hear that too well.
He sounded, yes. I mean, he sounded very eloquent.
8-year-old, yeah. It was stunning.
Poised and well-rehearsed or whatever.
Yeah. Well, it was odd, yeah. I just found it odd. Who would do that? He how's an 8-year-old supposed to react anyway? Would he be broken up when you've told your father's dead? It's certainly poised about it. Very strange. Very strange. Yeah. There's nothing but strangeness around this story. Nothing. It's totally odd, I think. I'll drop a link in the audio chat notes for today. People can take a peek at it. I'll put it in the...
Yeah, well, it's quite one. It's right on your doorstep, so it's interesting. It's, yeah. 9 years old. Wow. Yeah, it's, yeah. It didn't sound like a... Yeah, very poised.
Yeah, very odd. All right, well, I'll let you go. Nice chatting with you. We'll see you on the waves, on the airwaves.
Yeah, yeah. Talk to you soon, mate. Yeah, cheers. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Good day. Cheers. Bye. All right.
Hi, I'm Shay from Ireland. I would like to recommend Fakeologist.com for all your truths.